What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome into another edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. Well, we were going to get into a completely different topic on today's podcast, but then suddenly around 8:30, the news breaks that the Eagles have added a running back. It's been done. It's been the biggest talk of the town, which I guess is a really good thing considering the Eagles don't have a whole lot of needs as they build this 2019 roster into what could be one of the best offenses in the NFL. But again, it was really just running back. Was, are they going to add a running back? Is Howie Roseman serious about it? Well, it looks like to a certain level he is, making another trade for a running back. We saw it in 2017 with Jay Ajayi. Now it's Jordan Howard, traded to the Philadelphia Eagles from the Chicago Bears for a sixth-round pick. It can become a fifth. The pick is in 2020, so the Eagles do keep all their picks this year while adding a 24-year-old running back making just $2 million. Not bad value as we continue into Howie's season, joined by my co-host, Gino Camilleri. Gino, welcome back to the show. Pretty good podcast to return to, huh, with this news.
Yeah, I'd like to say I was the anti-mush for this one. I'm usually the other way around. I usually put things in a somber mood. I don't have the best of luck, but this is a good one to come back to because it's, like you said, it's Howie season. This is where he makes his money. This is where the good GMs are separated from the great GMs, and Howie falls into that great GM category because I'm just looking at this right now from Jimmy Kemsky. He just tweeted this out. The three trades that he made this offseason, he gained DeSean Jackson, Jordan Howard, the Patriots fifth in 2020, and the Buccaneers seventh in 2020 for Michael Bennett, a sixth round pick in 2019, a sixth in 2020, and then a seventh in 2020 as well. That's a lot of value gained for minimal amount given up. And that's where these good GMs and great GMs make their money. And Dan Hatman, who I went through the scouting academy with, he is constantly on Twitter saying that great GMs will constantly, they will purge the veteran market, not older veterans, but just veterans in general, first contract players that are in their free agent year for late round picks, because that's when teams are apt to give them up. And you saw that in this Jordan Howard trade, a player who fell out of favor in Chicago, who now is another man's trash, is now our treasure for literally pennies on the dollar for a guy that was just 65 yards short of being a three-time 1,000-yard rusher. So what this Eagles team got for a sixth-round conditional pick in the year 2020 and giving up no compensation in the year 2019, keeping all those picks that they have, you can't draw it up any better, Lou. I think this is an A-plus trade. It's not bringing in a feature running back, but it's bringing in a guy that could be part of a committee that fills a role that this team has filled with other players like Jay Ajayi and LeGarrette Blount in the past.
Yeah, this was just talent that they badly needed, regardless of who's going to be the RB1, regardless of, yeah, they still haven't added that do-it-all running back that I've really been pounding the table for, but it's just talent in a committee. It doesn't matter, whatever, committee, feature back, whatever you do, you cannot have the type of backfield you had last year after the injuries, right, with Josh Adams. Yeah, you can't go into it with that kind of talent again. So while I'm not crazy about Jordan Howard being a workhorse running back, nobody on this roster has the type of production Howard has in 3 years. Over 3,000 yards in three seasons, 900-plus in each year. Like you said, he was super close to going back-to-back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons. Only Ezekiel Elliott, by the way, has had the past three straight seasons surpassed 900 rushing yards. Only Zeke has done it that's not named Jordan Howard. He's only one of four running backs with 2,000 rushing yards since 2017. I mean, this is a guy that, again, like, let's just talk about the value and talk about the money that they're investing. Like you said, it's pennies on the dollar. So even if they don't add anybody else, you are significantly upgraded from what you were last year. I mean, this is a guy, too, that's awesome in short yardage. I mean, they clearly like their thumpers, guys that make you pay on the second level that you just dread tackling when you get to the linebackers, into the corners, into the safeties. I mean, Jordan Howard's a big guy to take down when he's getting downhill, much like LeGarrette Blount and Jay Ajayi. Dave Spadaro tweeted this out, that Howard with Chicago last year converted 23 of 31 third or fourth.
I was looking for that tweet. I saw that, yeah.
It was on third and fourth downs and then less than 2 yards to go in 2018. He converted 23 of 31, which is a 74% conversion rate, which is pretty good, and he's also sixth most rushing touchdowns in 3 years with 24. So, again, like we said, only a 24-year-old guy. I mean, this is just great value.
Absolutely, and like you said, this doesn't keep them away from adding another piece. I still think with what you have right now, you're in decent condition, but there are plenty of complementary pieces in this draft that I think you could bring in that fits a Jordan Howard, a Corey Clement, maybe a Boston Scott, four-headed dragon. You bring in a running back. I say somebody that kind of sprung to my mind as soon as we got Jordan Howard and elusive speed back in this draft would be a guy like Justice Hill. Like, right. He's a guy that just like he was in the back of my mind for guys that maybe you would pick if you got a, you wouldn't pick him if you got a speed receiver in the offseason, but now that you brought in Jordan Howard, who's a thumper, and you need a speed running back, you can bring in a guy like Justice Hill. You could bring in a guy like Tony Pollard out of Memphis. There, it just opens up plenty of options for you. You don't have a workhorse, but we keep saying that. This isn't what they do. This isn't what Deuce Staley does. He rotates his running backs. This is what Doug Peterson does. He likes to implement different skill sets into his offense. You don't just want to have a one-dimensional back that, you know, regardless of when he's in the ball game, that he's going to be a short yardage back. Jordan Howard is that player, but he still has that receiving upside to him. His receiving ability was taken aback by the likes of Tariq Cohen being there. There was no reason for him to be receiving out of the backfield when you had arguably a top three receiving running back in the backfield in Tariq Cohen last season. So I think they really are going to extract more value out of Jordan Howard than what a six round pick says you are getting out of him.
Yeah, and also with last year, so his production has gone down the past 3 years. He started at over 5 yards per carry, then down to 4.1 in 2017. Last year, he was at 3.7. The good thing was, though, he did end the season on a high note. He had two of his last four regular season games. He surpassed 100 yards. So this is a player that's still, again, only 24 years old, and we're not asking him to come in here and carry the ball 25 times in a game. He could have that ability if there's, you know, go with the hot hand, look at the Chargers game in 2017. I think back to that one with how good LeGarrette Blount was just going off, and it's like, okay, you just ride LeGarrette Blount through that. But you don't have to do that with Jordan Howard if they do add other talent, and they do still have Corey Clement. We'll see, you mentioned Boston Scott. Not sure what the future is of Darren Sproles. Still sounds like Howie Roseman and Doug Peterson want him back. But I want to get into that next when we take a quick break right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast, reacting to the Eagles trading for former Bears running back and now current Eagle Jordan Howard. Going to get into next. What does this mean now for the running back position? Are the Eagles going to add anything else? No running back in the draft? Could they add somebody else still before the draft? We'll get into that next right here on Locked On Eagles. All right, everybody, welcome back to the Locked On Eagles podcast, this Thursday edition, breaking the news that Jordan Howard is a Philadelphia Eagle. They add some running back talent, much needed, a guy that once again has proven that he can get the job done as a big bruising running back. In between, you know, in the middle, but at the same time, you know, he's a guy that doesn't have speed and explosiveness, Gino, but much like Jay Ajayi, I want to compare him to as a receiver, like both guys, not someone that's just going to burn linebackers on these mismatches, but pretty soft hands for their size.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was just looking at his Pro Football Reference page. In his rookie season, he averaged 10.3 yards a reception. He had 50 targets, 29 receptions. Not the greatest percentage there in the catch category, but still, that shows you that he has the ability to catch the ball out of the backfield. And his first season, he had Mike Glennon, and then he had Mitch Trubisky in back-to-back years. When he was in the game, they knew that he was going to get the ball. I'm sure if you look up the stats that he faced a lot of eight-man boxes, I can probably put the pieces together on that, seeing that his yards per attempt went down every single year since his rookie season because teams were able to game plan him for him, much like teams did for Jai after his rookie year. So I think if you bring him into this offense and really get out what you think you can get out of him, add him to the receiving game, don't make him just that one-dimensional short yardage back, and utilize him in big runs like you did LeGarrette Blount a couple years ago. How many times can you look back to that 2017 season and see LeGarrette breaking off 20 to 25 yard runs? I think with this offensive line, you can get back to that with Howard, and don't just be the guy that's in there on third and short and fourth and short, but a guy that could come in on first down and leave you with about 2 to 3 yards, something better than Wendell Smallwood gave you last year, and a lot of the times what Josh Adams gave you last year.
Yeah, I think he's a player that, again, I mean, this is probably the guy that's going to be that LeGarrette Blount for you. Someone that is coming in as a rotational back, but he can make plays for you in different ways. I don't even think LeGarrette Blount could have. I think it's more like Jay Ajayi, where you can design screens for Jordan Howard, because once you get him, again, going downhill, that is a hard player to bring down, especially behind this offensive line that's one of the top in the league. I think it's a good piece. For me, though, now that the Eagles almost have virtually no immediate needs, right? You talk about it all the time, Gino, with future needs. They can go in now in the draft and pretty much do whatever they want, right? They could take a linebacker, they could take a receiver, they could take a safety, they can go offensive line. It doesn't matter at this point, as long as it's not quarterback really high. There's anything else they do, I'm going to be okay with, because their roster right now for 2019, to me, is vastly improved even from what it was just a year ago. It's healthy, and you can go into the draft, and yeah, you don't have to take a running back now in the first two rounds. You can wait all the way into the fourth or fifth round. But at the same time, this does not take Josh Jacobs off the table. I don't think it takes Daryl Henderson off the table or whoever they want at running back. I like how you mentioned Justice Hill as that speed factor, or if it's later on, a Bruce Anderson or a Darwin Thompson or, who's your guy? I'm forgetting from Nebraska.
Zigbo.
That's right. The big boy is Zigbo. But, I mean, maybe a Zigbo not as much anymore with Howard, unless they want to double down like they did with Ajayi and Blount, then they still could do a Zigbo. But regardless, they can still add a running back in the draft, because with Howard, outside of him, you still only really have Corey Clement that I'm high on. I don't know if Darren Sproles is going to be back. And then after that, you know my feelings on Wendell Smallwood, because they're your feelings as well. Josh Adams showed some promise, but hey, I would like the Eagles to find their Tariq Cohen to pretty much take this over the top. I know it's going to be a committee. I know Peterson likes to have, complementary backs, one guy that has power, one guy that has speed, but it's so beneficial that even if it's a committee, I'm not even saying you have to have that quote-unquote workhorse back that's a three-down back. I just want to have a guy that has that ability to be a three-down back, because you're way less predictable when on third and four you have a running back that could beat you with a wheel route down the field, but at the same time, he can get up the middle and he can grab you those 4 yards as well. So to me, I don't think it takes it off the table that Josh Jacobs could be the 25th overall pick, or Daryl Henderson could be the 57th overall. And even if they don't do that, Howard gives you the flexibility now to be like, well, we really like Bruce Anderson in the fourth round, so let's just wait and let's add that. As long as they, to me, add one other guy that has a overall really well-rounded skill set, then I'm really excited about this running back core.
Absolutely. And we go back to what I said a couple weeks ago, that this team likes to add positions in the offseason that they continue to add in the draft. So this is just another one of those positions. You look back, now they're sitting at that position where they add a veteran running back. You have a couple young guys still on rookie contracts. You can bring in another developmental piece.
Yeah.
And I think that takes out of the equation that they would take Josh Jacobs at 25, but I don't think it takes away the fact that they maybe now are open to trade back from 25 a couple spots, make that value for Jacobs more worth it. Because,
oh, interesting. Okay.
Before the free agency started, this team had probably three needs, I think, that we really had to get after. Mm-hmm. Defensive tackle. Oh, actually, I'd say four. Defensive tackle,
right.
Edge, safety, and running back.
Yeah.
They have now addressed every single one of those pieces. So if you're sitting at 25 and there's four or five guys you like there that you would have taken probably at pick 20, and say New England comes calling, they want to call up, trade up and get, say, Daniel Jones. Who knows? Something could happen. We'll offer you an additional third-round pick. You want to trade back seven spots to pick 32. I think I'm more apt to do that now because you filled all of those needs. Say you missed on a Malik Jackson. Okay, maybe now you're more apt to trade up for a Christian Wilkins. Maybe an Ed Oliver falls. Maybe you're more apt to trade up for him still. But I think this opens up many more possibilities of the idea of trading down. Because say maybe they do fall in love with Daryl Henderson and they'd be willing to take him at the end of the first round. Trade back, get some more picks, and still get another running back that you could add to your committee that's a high-end running back, while at the same time, there's plenty of other depth at positions of need in the draft. At safety, you still have two second-round picks, then you have two third-round picks with the one you just acquired from New England. I'm just throwing possibilities out there, but I think this opens up so much more because there's not that one pressing need that you're looking at, that Howie Roseman's looking at himself in the mirror now saying, oh, we need a running back, we need a running back. They got their running back. Now what does this team need? They need depth and they need blue chip players, and they're going to get their guy regardless of who he is at wherever they pick in the first round.
It also gives them the ability too, because they really don't need to add anything immediate for the 2019 season. You talked about trading back. I mean, I'd be okay now with, you know, moving up and giving up a couple picks because they can afford that. And you're going to get these comp picks next year. Like, let's say you mentioned a couple shows ago where Ronald Darby, let's say, has a pretty solid 2019 season. And we know how corners get overpaid when they're healthy and they have the athleticism and speed and age that Ronald Darby has. That's going to get you maybe a third-round comp pick, right? What's Nick Foles going to be, third? Is it a third-round or four? Yeah, another. So here you're going into the 2020 draft, and you're going to have all these assets and all this ammo in the draft that right now, if you're sitting there, it's like, whoa, Ed Oliver just fell past Buffalo at pick 9. Let's try and move up now in the top 15, and let's grab that guy to put next to Fletcher Cox and Malik Jackson. So it gives you the ability, like you just said, it's just optionality now, and that's the great part of it. But to me still, I love the Howard move, but I still really want to get a playmaker back there. That, you know, Ajayi wasn't the quote-unquote do-it-all running back, but he was a guy that you knew, like, production-wise, he was going to get his anytime he was on the field. Like, he always had that ability where LeGarrette Blount was kind of a hot and cold running back, right? Like, feed the hot hand, and I feel like Jordan Howard's kind of similar to that. Corey Clement, too. Even last year, you saw a lot of that with Clement. I know he was dealing with injuries, but I want that one guy that I know can just, you know, he's always a weapon that you have to take into account that's in the backfield. Because now, I mean, look at this 2019 offense with the Bruiser and Jordan Howard. You got the two crazy good tight ends and 12 personnel with Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert. You got the burner and Deshaun, who's the best burner to me of all time. You got the great slot, young, explosive player down the field in Nelson Agholor. The wide receiver one in Alshon Jeffery. I mean, if you added, like you said, a Daryl Henderson.
It's just crazy, man. Because that's such a good offense, honestly.
Yeah. It's hard not to just drool over the idea, and it's hard not to fathom Carson Wentz being an MVP candidate next year, because it's going to be really hard not to if the health doesn't just crumble like it did last year.
I think you nailed it right on the head with what this gives them. It gives them optionality. And Howie Roseman never boxed himself in. He never backs himself into a corner. He's casting probably 15 to 16 lines more than any other NFL GM right now. If you're talking in the analogy of them out to fishing, Howie's got a freaking charter ship while all of these guys got paddle boats and are trying to catch some little minnows offshore. Howie's catching the big marlin, selling them three times hand over fist for the amount that he's getting them at, because he's just so much better than everybody else right now. Like, you look at the Bill Belichick's still making value moves. You grab the Michael Bennett's of the world. The Packers had a good offseason. The Eagles are having one of the best offseasons I've seen in a long time. And not in regards to where they're just signing these top-end players. They're signing at positions of value, and that's where their whole mentality has changed and their ideology has changed over the past few years, is get away from these big name free agents. That's not who these Eagles are. They're going to sign guys. They're going to sign those Moneyball type players. Those, if you've ever seen the movie Moneyball, they love their analytics. Howie Roseman said it. Doug Peterson said it. They use analytics to game plan to bring in players, and they're going to continue to do that as analytics continue, as they're going to be stretched thin cap wise. Since Carson Wentz is going to get an extension, they're going to have to continue to bring in value. And two ways to do that are on the veteran player market and acquiring more cap picks. Or draft picks, mind you. And they're only going to continue to do that by signing or having good players that leave in free agency to get comp picks and then trading away players for more draft picks. And that's how they're going to continue to grow. And they're going to continue to be right up against the cap for every single year as long as Howie Roseman is his GM, because he expects to field a great team every single year. Their cap sitting at 22 after this acquisition?
Yeah, it looks like they're at $22 million in space.
I could see it being around 10 before the season even starts. There's plenty of more moves to be made with the guys they're going to get in the draft. I wouldn't be shocked if they trade for one or two more players. Maybe they sign some free agents in the summer. Maybe they even extend Carson Wentz. Howie's going to open every single avenue and explore every single option and get this team right to where it needs to be, not just for this year, but for 2020 and 2021, just like I've been saying and just like he echoed in his press conference a few days back.
And I want to keep my eye, too, on the running backs that are still available that aren't in the draft, because we've seen it. I'll go back to 2017.
I think T.J. Yeldon would be perfect right, to add to this backfield right now.
You read my mind, because this is the thing with the draft. You never know how it's going to break down, right? Josh Jacobs might go really high. Baltimore might take him. The Oakland Raiders at 24 right in front of Philadelphia might get him. And then, you know, in 2017, they couldn't get McCaffrey. Minnesota jumped right in front of them, two picks ahead in the second round to grab Dalvin Cook. They just, the running backs that they wanted, they didn't fall, and just that's the way the draft went, and they went other ways. They were going to reach for a guy, and that's you can't blame a team for doing that. I'm someone that likes to go based on need, but also based on best player available, based on your needs. But if there's a guy that's just, you know, 30 spots below on your rankings right now of best players available, like, you're not just going to reach and take one of those guys. So if we are heading into the 2019 draft and Jacobs goes earlier and they miss on Henderson and just the board doesn't shape up the way that they expected it to, there's guys that, you know, if depending on how long TJ Yeldon lasts, he could be someone that you add with Jordan Howard, like you said, perfect complement, or they try to maybe go for a trade after the draft, like San Francisco. We discussed it last week that, you know, Jerick McKinnon could be on the trade block. Maybe it's Matt Breida. So I also want to keep a close eye on the running backs that are still available that aren't in the draft, because, again, you never know how the draft's going to fall. You never know how the board's going to shape up, and you might be looking at a situation like a couple years ago where you're saying, let's go add a LeGarrette Blount because we weren't really big fans of where the running back class was falling in the draft.
I agree 100%, Lou, and I think if you're sitting there on early day three, and you miss out on a couple guys you like, say you miss out on a Daryl Henderson, a Devin Singletary type, and a lot of those guys start going earlier, say Cleveland's still willing to part with Duke Johnson. You still have a couple fours.
Yeah, that's right.
I would be calling up early on day three before the bell rings at noon when they start drafting again on day three. Say, hey, Cleveland, we'll give you a fourth right now. You're going to get a weapon that you know you can use, a guy that's going to give you that outside zone, that receiving ability to be a perfect complement to Jordan Howard. He's a known commodity. You don't have to take a risk on a guy like a Bruce Anderson.
I know, as much as
we would love it, but it's just an idea that it opens up now, because you're sitting there and teams aren't looking at the Philadelphia Eagles saying, oh man, they're desperate for running backs right now. Like, let's take advantage of them, try and milk as much as we can out of them in a trade. Say you miss on a TJ Yeldon and all those guys we said, you're calling up for Duke Johnson, seeing if they're still available. You're calling up for Matt Breida, seeing if they're still available. The optionality that Howie Roseman has at this current point in time is absolutely excellent. Because one, if you sit where you stand with the running backs you have, you can make it through the season. You're already better than what you had last year.
That's what I was saying, is they did it with far less last year. So they're already – like, although Howard's not my favorite back, he is such an upgrade over what Josh Adams was at the end of the
100%.
Season. 100%. Yeah, so, I mean, let me ask you something real quick, though, before we take a break. And we're going to get to some questions from our listeners on Twitter. You mentioned Duke Johnson. So let's say Josh Jacobs is off the board. Mm-hmm. How many backs would you prefer in this draft – over Duke Johnson?
Ooh.
Let's play a name game. All right, Daryl Henderson or Duke Johnson?
Okay, so the compensation would be a fourth, like I said.
Yeah, right. Or, so let's say you get Duke for a fourth, or it's Henderson at pick 57.
All right, Daryl Henderson.
Let's go with, I don't know. Is David Montgomery someone you think is going to fall? This is the thing, is because the Eagles don't really have a third round pick. So
yeah, just say they trade back in the third round. Just
right. Hypothetically, they're in the third round. Let's say David Montgomery.
I go Duke Johnson.
Devin Singletary.
Oh, that was close.
I would go with Singletary probably.
Singletary. Yeah, I think Singletary gives you a better option there.
Justice Hill, I think Duke with Johnson, right?
Yeah, I'd go Duke Johnson.
Is there anybody else that I'm missing that? Miles Sanders.
I'd say Miles. I would take Miles Sanders over Duke Johnson for sure. I would say Henderson, Jacobs, and Miles Sanders, and possibly Devin Singletary.
I agree, and then I would be really torn, and I know we keep mentioning him, but Bruce Anderson, I'd be really torn because of the
it would be
back.
Close.
I think he can be.
Because I think you're going to have to take him right where you would have to give up in the fourth round. So.
Right. But I mean, hey, I think Duke Johnson the fourth. Like, I'm someone that we know. I've been talking about it a lot, and so have you, about this running back class, because we're keeping a close eye on it because they don't really need a whole lot else. But if they went in and they just added Duke Johnson for a fourth round pick, and you went in with a trio of Jordan Howard, Duke Johnson, and Corey Clement, and then Josh Adams and Boston Scott and Wendell Smallwood fight it out for that final roster spot, I'm cool with that, because like you said, Duke Johnson and Howard, that's a perfect complementary committee-like backfield. That's just typical Doug Peterson offense, right?
Yeah, 100%. You got that power element. You got the inside zone rushers. You have your outside zone rushers. You have your receiving elements. They're going to continue to bring in as many diverse play sets, as many diverse skill sets as possible all along the entire offense. Right now, look at what you have. You have so many different diverse pieces. You're not just like the Baltimore Ravens of last year, where you had three running backs that were all just thumpers and all your receivers were possession receivers, you know, outside of John Brown. You had Willie Snead. You had who else? You had Michael Crabtree. Then you had in the backfield, you have Javorius Allen, you have Alex Collins. All those guys were the same exact player.
Gus this Edwards Eagle... and Kenneth Dixon. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, and the list goes on and on. And that's what is going to allow this Eagles team to do so many things. You heard Doug Peterson talking in his press conference the other day saying how they're going to add an additional element of 12 personnel that is going to be good for the offense. And who knows what that even means, but if that means that they're going to get creative with their play calling and continue to look around the NFL and look at different schemes, they have the players that can go out there and fulfill a lot of these different styles of offense and bringing in different weapons. You have your Jordan Howard, you have your Corey Clement, you have your Boston Scott, you have your Wendell Smallwood, if you like. There's so many options that you could throw out in the backfield. Just give them a reliable one, and I think Jordan Howard is that guy. In 2017, you had a couple guys you could hand the ball off to and know you're going to get a first down on third and short and fourth and short. Last year, Josh Adams went 0-for. Wendell Smallwood couldn't catch a pass. Now you bring in a couple more weapons. Corey Clement is healthy. You have optionality once again, much like Howie Roseman has been priming them to do all offseason and many offseasons before this, and he's continuing to provide optionality for many many off seasons to come in the future.
All right, let's take a quick break here on the Lockdown Eagles podcast. When we come back, we'll wrap it up with some questions from you, the listeners, and we can keep the conversation going after the show as well. As always, just follow our Twitter accounts at Lockdown Birds, at DiBiase LOE, and at Gino_LOE. Don't go anywhere. This is Lockdown Eagles. All right, everybody, welcome back to this final segment of our Thursday show, Lockdown Eagles, recapping the Jordan Howard trade coming over from Chicago to Philadelphia for only a six-round pick, could be a fifth in 2020, but they keep all their picks this year. Let's get into some questions from our listeners on Twitter. And first, no question here, but this is from a Packers fan. I just wanted to read over the air. It's at _Doe21, who again is a Green Bay Packers fan, writes in, Eagles got a steal. Howard is a workhorse who became a victim of Nagy's pass-happy offense. So at this part, and again, Jordan Howard really did a number on the Green Bay Packers the past couple of years. Interesting, though, to mention Matt Nagy's offense. I feel like Doug Peterson's is pretty similar, but the difference, I think, is that the Eagles really like to have those maulers, and that's why they added Blunt and they added Ajayi. So for the type of role he's going to have, I definitely trust Doug Peterson more so than what Nagy did, because he just wanted to feature Cohen so much. I think definitely the reason they traded for Howard is they have a vision on what they want him to be. So I do trust Doug to get him involved, and it's not going to be like Chip Kelly where it's, you know, you mold into my scheme and that's it. It's no, they're going to, like you said in the first segment, they're going to max out Howard's value by giving him the right set of plays.
Yeah, 100%. There's a reason they went out and traded for this guy, and it's been, what, a couple weeks since free agency started? So they've had their options open, and they've done their research on this guy. They know what they can get out of him. They've definitely had the discussions with Deuce. They've definitely had the discussions with Mike and Doug. They're going to extract value out of Jordan much more than what Matt Nagy inherited. He didn't really bring Jordan Howard in, and not to mention, Joe Douglas was in Chicago when they drafted Jordan Howard.
Good point,
so yep. There's another connection there.
Brian Seville writes in, what stat line would you guys give him this season? Also, imagine a backfield of Anderson, Howard, and Clement. Looks like Brian is getting in on the Bruce Anderson trade.
Bruce Anderson?
That's right, Bruce Anderson.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if he was going to Rodney Anderson.
No. Well, I mean, Rodney Anderson's another guy that could be a pretty good option that we don't really talk about a lot. But
I know. Before the season started, before he got injured, he was the guy I wanted.
Yeah, if he's healthy, he is one of the most well-rounded running backs in this class. Again, it's more so the health than anything with Anderson. So, stat line for Howard. Look, again, I don't think he's going to be someone that's going to be a workhorse, you know, prototypical lead running back. I'll go with around, I'll say 750 yards and 7 rushing touchdowns.
I'd say, like, 690 yards, 6 rushing touchdowns, and like 240 receiving yards and 2 touchdowns.
All right, that's a pretty good stat line for a guy that you're giving up only a 6-round pick for. Justin Lothola writes in, does he fit our system? For me, I say in the role he will play, yes. I know the Eagles are, like the Bears, very shotgun heavy. They are a pass-heavy offense. He's not someone that is going to come in and he's going to be your Alvin Kamara. That's just not what he's going to be. But once again, like we just said earlier, I've seen what they can do with LeGarrette Blount and Jay Ajayi, so I trust that they know how to use this type of running back.
Yeah, there's a reason they went out and got him. They went and got their guy, and that's what they're going to continue to do. They went out and targeted DeSean Jackson for a reason. They went out and targeted Jordan Howard for a reason. There's a reason they went out and got Michael Bennett last year. They are taking advantage of guys. And I had this conversation with Dan Hatman. I know I keep bringing this up, but he provided some great information. We were talking about the Tim Jernigan trade, and he said that Howie is one of those guys that will always look to find players that are in the wrong scheme and bring them into his scheme because he knows they fit, and he knows he can get them at below value. Look at what you got Tim Jernigan at because he wasn't in a scheme that fit. You just had to move down a couple picks. You didn't even have to give up a pick for a player of his value. Look at DeSean Jackson, who wasn't too happy in Tampa Bay. You didn't give up anything for him. Jordan Howard fell out of favor in Chicago. Now you're going to bring him into a system that you know fits for basically nothing. Hats off to Howie Roseman on this one. I think Jordan Howard is a perfect running back by committee guy. I think when you think Jordan Howard, you think committee because you don't think he's a top-end running back. You think he's like a 15 to 23-ish range for running backs in this league right now. He's a guy that needs
– He's your closer that
yes,
when you're up
that's
by –
that's a great way to put
yeah,
it.
Yeah, when you're up by, you know, 10 points and there's like 4 minutes left in the fourth quarter and he gets hot with that offensive line. I looked to that Giants game last year that really saved the season, and Josh Adams got hot behind that offensive line that was just mauling the front seven of New York, and he's your close back, right? That's what LeGarrette Blount was too.
Absolutely, yeah. That's the role he's going to play, and there's a reason they brought him into the system. They know they can put him into this system. Like you said, Doug Peterson likes those maulers. You saw it in Ajayi. You saw it in Blount. There's a reason they brought in Josh Adams. He's going to be a guy behind this offensive line that I think can get the hot hand, like you said, and start to cook for get those big chunk gains, get those runs that Wendell Smallwood left a lot of meat on the bone, and actually take advantage of them, which they weren't able to do last season.
Last thing before we wrap up the show, I saw Jay Ajayi kind of post on Instagram a picture of him kneeling in an Eagles uniform, and it showed
too.
The piece. Just, you know, shout out to Jay Ajayi. I mean, this is a guy that he didn't have a long career in Philadelphia, but it was so impactful. And he was a guy that when Carson Wentz went down, he really helped shoulder the load while Nick Foles, remember, got off to a slow start against L.A. to close that game out. Ajayi's one of his best games was actually in L.A. against the Rams in that one. And, you know, helped. He scored the only touchdown of that Oakland game to clinch the bye with someone that, even in the Atlanta game, Nick Foles wasn't really that great. But Jay Ajayi, I remember in that first half, was just giving the Falcons fits. They could not bring him down, not only in the run game, but in the screen game as well. He was a player that was extremely efficient in his time with Philadelphia, and I'm going to miss Jay Ajayi because he's a player that it's unfortunate with the injuries because I'd rather have Ajayi healthy than a Jordan Howard, but coming off another knee injury, he's still young, and I hope, you know, he finds that health and that longevity in his NFL career, but just hasn't been able to find it yet, but a great player for Philadelphia the last 2 years.
Absolutely, and this team, they have a fourth-round comp pick just awaiting another free agent for them to lose to sign because Jordan Hicks, his is currently being canceled out. So I love Jay Ajayi, but we need him to sign. We need Tim Jernigan to sign. They got to start playing that comp pick game, and Jay Ajayi falls into that. There's a reason they brought in Howard. They knew that they didn't have to give up anything asset-wise outside of a conditional six-round pick and still could add a potential fourth-round compensatory pick moving forward. So if I had to grade this trade, Lou, I'd probably give it about an even A, because he's still not the top-end back, but for the compensation you gave up, for the player you're bringing in, I think – A running back on a rookie contract for one more year isn't the worst thing in the world.
Yeah, I would agree. I'd give it a B plus. I'm not satisfied at running back, but this was much needed talent that they had to add back there, because you never know what's going to happen in the draft, and they had to add somebody that's a proven track record. And once again, this is a guy that over 3,000 yards in three seasons. He's not someone that's going to be your all-around back, but he's someone that can definitely play, and he's proven it. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for today's edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. Thank you for joining Gino and I. Thank you for sending in your questions. You can always do that before each show. We do it 4 to 5 times a week on Twitter, at Locked On Birds, at DiBiase LOE, and at Gino_LOE. We will be back tomorrow. If you missed any of our previous shows, you can always subscribe to it on Apple Podcasts, the Himalayan Podcast Platform, Google Play, Stitcher, anywhere that you listen to podcasts. Locked On Eagles is up and available on those platforms, and as always, on LockedOnEagles.com. So, for my co-host Gino Camilleri, I'm Lou DiBiase. As always, thank you for downloading, thank you for listening, and let's go, Birds.
Fly, Eagles, fly.